First Corinthians chapter 5, starting from verse 1.
It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and I'm not rather warned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
Last week, if you remember, St. Paul was saying, do not judge until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. But today he is saying, I have already judged this man in my spirit. And even though I'm not there, my spirit is there. And he's talking about one person having his father's wife and living in sin, and church is not saying anything to him. And so he's saying this kind of sin is not even named among the Gentiles, that somebody should have his father's wife. The man is already have his father's wife, and the church is not saying anything. Look at Solomon. His father is already dead. That young girl is sitting there. So other person is just asking, give me my father's wife. Solomon didn't like it. He got so mad to his mother, he said, why don't you give my kingdom to that brother also? And I don't need a kingdom. He's my brother, let him have everything. But in short, he was angry and he killed his brother because he had an evil desire. He let him leave. If you read in the first chapter of 1 Kings, he let him leave. He said, but one thing, if you have any evil thoughts in your heart or evil deeds, you will be put to death. And this is what the man had the warning. But he did not listen. He thought, oh, king will forget. He will listen to his mother and everything will be fine. But king made a decision that evil brother should not be live on this earth. And that man was put to death. Here St. Paul is saying, we have a man in our congregation living sinful life. Congregation doesn't say anything. And he has his father's wife. Let's go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And he says, not only that, verse 2. You are puffed up and have not rather mourned. He says, you are proud. I don't know, this man might be a millionaire. He may have a lot of money. He might have given some people party. He might have given somebody some money. And they are so proud about this person. And they are puffed up. They're thinking, oh, he's doing good. And nothing wrong with it. But he says, let's read that verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2.
And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you.
That man should be put out of the church, but you are not putting that man out. And you are proud what he has done. And you are puffed up. Verse 3.
For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed.
St. Paul, he is saying this kind of thing, he just heard. He did not see it with his own eyes. But he believed what's happening. And then he's saying, I am already judged him what he has done. And what he's trying to say now, verse 4.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
Now he's saying, when we gather together in the name of Jesus Christ. What should we have? We should have purity, the holy mind, the mind of Christ, and the Spirit of God. Do you know what church is? Church is the one person, is the body of Christ. And united, we became one church. Jesus knew very well. He did not say, we have to have 3,000 people gathered together, then I'll be in their midst. Matthew chapter 18 verse 20 says, two or three people gathered together in my name, I will be in their midst. God wants unity, love, togetherness, and holiness. So he's trying to say, if this kind of person, if you have in your church, get rid of that person. He says, when you give that man, deliver that man to the Satan, and his flesh will be destroyed, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. But that's why some churches, they tell you, once you saved, saved forever. That means if you are born again, child of God, you can murder somebody, you can have your father's wife, or you can have anything you can do. And if you die, you will go to heaven. Why? Because once you made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, now no one will take you out of God's hand. That's the teaching. And if this person dies, they think this person will go to heaven. And why? Because he says, give this man to Satan for destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, when you hear this, these things sound like this, let this man do whatever he wants to do, let the devil ruin his life, and he will be still able to go to heaven. That's what it sounds. But this is not like this. I'll tell you, then you'll get the idea. John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus Christ says, what? You must be born again. Okay? You must be born again. What does that mean? There is no other way. You must. Okay. Then he says, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. What does it mean? There is no other truth, there is no other way, there is no other life. God did not say this here to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be. He did not say spirit must be saved. You understand? He said, why he said spirit may be saved? What does it mean? He did not say, give it this man to Satan, let him do whatever he does, so his spirit must be saved. He didn't say like that. Why he say may be saved? Reason why this. Now you have to see in the first century church. First century church was like a family. Food, shelter, everything is connected to the church. And if that person is excommunicated from the church, that means he's finished. Nobody will talk to him. Nobody will eat with him. Nobody will salute him. Nobody will take care of him. And he will be completely destroyed. Now in that condition, nobody has to do anything with this person. And if that person gets sick, that person has some problem, then nobody will do anything to this man. And so what happened, and physically, because when you give this man for destruction, what does it mean? The word of God says, St. John chapter 10 verse 10, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come to give you life and more abundant life. What does it mean? The devil destroys mankind. Once you give this man for destruction, the devil is going to bring him sickness, disease, problems. And when this kind of problem will come to him, he might, you understand? he might repent. That's what he's trying to say. He might repent and he might come back to God before Jesus Christ comes. Because those people were thinking Jesus Christ can come tomorrow or tonight. Same thing we are believing. St. Paul was saying, give this man to destruction, and when he is suffering, when we'll have pain and sickness and disease, he might come back to God. I give you a couple of examples. One man said, show me your God and I will kill him. I will tie him to my bed and I'll shoot him. I told him, the day will come and you will be dying on your deathbed, and that's the time. If I'm there, I will come and remind you where the God is. And exactly happened. And man was dying. I went to his bedside and I said, sir, you said, show me Jesus Christ and I'm going to tie him and I'm going to kill him. Are you ready to do that? He said, no, because he was dying himself. And he received Jesus Christ and he got saved and baptized. That's what St. Paul is saying. Another man, I went to his town, he said, get out of my town. I don't want you to come to my town. It's a long story, but God did so many miracles in that man's family. Even though his daughters got saved and baptized, but he didn't want any part of this ministry or this teaching. One day he got a tumor, size of a coconut. He's a villager. Came from there, like a 22 to 25 miles from my church. Came to hospital. Hospital was very close to my church. He came and he said, call Pastor Peter. When I went there, he says, I am like a fish out of water. They found out there is a tumor like a coconut size. And he is having a lot of pain. I said to him, repent. Ask Jesus Christ to forgive all your sins. And I'm going to pray for you and you'll be healed. And God healed him. They called the doctor to check. Could not find the tumor. Tumor disappeared. And the man went home. That's the kind of situation St. Paul is trying to say here. Leave this man to the Satan's hand. Let the Satan destroy him. His flesh means when the sickness and disease comes, destroys your flesh. So he said, when his flesh is destroyed, he may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He's not saying when eternity. He's saying Jesus Christ can come anytime. Before that, we want this man to get saved. Come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you take this word literally, okay, then what? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, flesh and blood do not inherit the kingdom of God. That means anybody's flesh cannot go to heaven. You understand? So if this man's flesh dies and destroys, the spirit will go to heaven. Doesn't work that way. What he's trying to say, this man's flesh will be tormented. And when he gets this kind of problems, he may be saved. And that's the hope we have, so let him go. Like that. Just like somebody is fighting in your house, your son or your daughter. I want to go. I don't want to live in this house. And you say, oh no, no, stay. So if somebody wants to go, you pack his bag and say, here is the way, go. And when they go out, and when they suffer, like a prodigal son, you remember he said, give me my stuff. His father said, okay, take it and go. And when he came to his senses, he came back. That's what St. Paul is trying to say here. We cannot take this way that we can live in sin for our whole life and we will make it to heaven because our spirit will be saved. It doesn't get saved automatically. Because here it says in the 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, we have to repent, then only God will forgive our sins and cleanse us. So here this man, he says, get rid of this man, give it to the Satan, and spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So giving him chance to repent. If you pamper somebody, if somebody is committing sin and you don't say anything, that person will say, this is normal. So those kind of things, when we talk, people don't want to hear. They want to say, oh, everything is okay. Don't worry, the whole world is doing like this. So we can live that kind of life. That is not a Christian life. God is not looking that kind of group. Okay, let's go and read verse 6.
Your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?
Your glorying is not good. What do you mean glorying? You are puffed up. You are saying nothing wrong with this. Let people live their life. We don't have to judge anybody. And that's okay. But he says little leaven. Leaven of the whole lump. So in short, he's saying if there is a sin in the church or sin in the midst of your people, that will destroy your church. That's why he says that leaven has to be taken it out. Verse 7.
Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
So he's trying to say, you have to be unleavened means sin has to be taken it out. In the Passover, you cannot have leavened bread. Jesus Christ is our Passover. Jesus Christ wants to cleanse us. If we do not allow Jesus Christ to cleanse us, then we have no Savior. We cannot live a Christian life. And then the Christ coming to this world is useless. We have to surrender our life to Jesus Christ. Verse 8.
Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
He said, that's why if you have to have feast, means if you have to have a good time in the Lord, praising and worshiping and glorifying God. What the word of God says, two of you what? Agree. Matthew chapter 18 verse 19. Two people have to agree. Agree in what? In unity and the doctrine of Jesus Christ or the love of Jesus Christ or the fellowship of God. If my mind is not set on Jesus Christ, I'm sitting in the church, I'm thinking about my boyfriend or thinking about my girlfriend or thinking when the church is finished so we can have a good time. That is not the unity. Unity means you have to have a pure mind. If you have pure mind and one accord, that's the time God listens to you and Jesus comes in. So that's what he's saying. We should have this kind of pure mind so we can come together and celebrate. Okay. Verse 9.
I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators.
He says, I'm writing this letter so you should not have company or fellowship with people who are living sinful life. Verse 10.
Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world.
Then somebody would say, oh, you're saying church member does something and don't keep in touch with that kind of person if somebody's living in sin, but we are living in the world. He said, oh, no. I'm not talking about the worldly people. If I start talking about the worldly people, then we have to get out of this world. We are living in a bad neighborhood. And so we have to put up with those people. But he says, if somebody is a brother in Christ or sister in Christ and living in sin, you cannot have pampering or companying or overlooking their sin because that is not the will of God. Worldly people, they do the worldly businesses, but we are here in the sinful world. We can only talk about brothers and sisters in Christ living pure and Christian life. Just think somebody is Hindu or Muslim and got saved. I cannot tell that person, now you got saved, get out of that family. Get out of that house. You cannot associate with those people. We cannot say that. Because he got saved, but he has no other way. His mother and father and brother and sister, he cannot just leave and go. That is not a Christianity. He could stay there, pray for them, and win them to Christ, not living like them, but living for Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. Read that verse 10 one more time.
Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must he needs go out of the world.
If you think my life is miserable, I don't want to live in this world. He said, then you have to go out of this world. Out of this world is where? Go to heaven. But we cannot kill ourselves to go to heaven. We have to wait upon the Lord, and God will open the door for us. We cannot make hastily decision because the environment is bad. Okay, verse 11.
But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat.
See, it's very clear. How many Christians are obeying this? He says, if any brother, he drinks, and he lives sinful life, or he's doing idol worship, or doing all kinds of demonic things and go to church, and then he invites you to his house and gives you party, do you go? No, you should not be going. So the word of God says you should not be eating with that person, or you should not be going to his house or have a company. God wants pure life and holy life. He is not coming for sinners. He is not coming for backsliders. He is not coming for people who are not living clean and holy life. Okay, verse 12.
But what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within?
Other people from outside should not be telling you something. You know this thing and you should be judging yourself. Sometimes people, they know something. They know that they are doing something wrong. And they're thinking, as long as nobody's saying it, I keep on doing it. If somebody says me something, then I'll change. And so keep on doing it. And people looking at that person and do not say anything. Then they get calluses. Oh, nobody's saying me anything. Maybe I'm doing something right then. So here the word of God is saying, you should be knowing within. Within your church, within your spirit, you should know what is right and what is wrong. If we have the Spirit of Christ, if you are born again children of God, we would know what is right and what is wrong. Nobody has to teach us. The Spirit of God will teach you. What does Jesus Christ say? The Holy Spirit will come and what? Teach you all things and tell you the truth and guide you in all truth. So if you have the Holy Spirit, we will live holy life. So he's saying you should be judging you within, not outsiders should be coming and telling you. You should have a checkpoint in your spirit. Give what is belong to Caesar to Caesar, and what is belong to God, give to God. Now you are not doing this and your heart is condemning you, but you are not putting it right. Now somebody said, now how can these people put it right? You know what? They have to make a decision. You want to go to heaven? If you want to go to heaven, then you do it right. What the word of God says, when you say repent, repent means what? Put it right or turn around. If Jesus Christ comes today, do you think those people will make it to heaven? No. They might be thinking, oh, this is nothing wrong. It's nothing wrong. We just cheating the government, but we are so faithful to God. I'm witnessing to people. I'm bringing souls to God. Doesn't work that way. Okay? If you have 10 commandments and if you break one, you are guilty of all. But nobody's telling. They're pampering those kind of people and they are allowing them. Read the Romans chapter 1 and the last verse.
Knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, some people committing sin and they will be judged. And so some people are committing sin and that kind of sin, and the other person allows them to do these things and approves that things, even though he doesn't do that way, but allow them to do it and have pleasure. Okay, do whatever you're doing, you're okay. He says that person is similarly guilty. If that person will be judged, the other person, let them allow these things, that person also should be judged. And that's what it is. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13.
But them that are without God judge it. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person.
We are godly people. So if you are godly people, he says, then what you do? Put away from among yourself that wicked person. Now, a person says, what is a sin? Sin is breaking the law of God, or unrighteousness is sin. James 4:17. So people should know what is sin.
Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Right. If you know something, I am breaking the law of God. I should not be breaking the law. This is not good for me as a Christian. But you keep on doing it. How many people, they condemn by the Spirit of God, but keep on doing what they want to do? We can only say, God wants purity. God wants holiness. Live holy life. Live clean life. In short, what I'm trying to say, God is love. But the God is also what? Consuming fire. In this world, we can have money, we can have fame, we can have houses, we can have luxury, but if you don't have Jesus, everything is vanity. And we'll put everything in this world and we'll go to hell also. So what is the message? Message is this: change your life. Put stop to what you're doing. And have the good conscience towards God. The Word of God says, if your heart condemns you, you have no confidence towards God. So God wants to come and stay in our heart. If my heart doesn't condemn me, then what? I have confidence towards God. If your heart condemns you, then you cannot even come closer to God. I give an example. If this man, Solomon's king's brother, just thought evil thought in his heart, let me get my father's wife. Just the thought came. He did not even touch her. He did not even marry her, but he was put to death. So that's the kind of example we have. Are we pleasing God or are we pleasing people? If you start pleasing people, then what St. Paul says? We are not the servant of God. People do not like somebody saying the right thing. People like to compromise. Jesus Christ doesn't want compromise. Then people say, didn't God love us? He loved us when we were sinners. The Word of God says, when you are a sinner, Jesus Christ died for you. So, what is the difference? Difference is this. God the Father said to Moses, first time he said to Moses, hit the rock and the water will come. And he hit the rock and water came. Next time they had a water problem, Moses goes to God. God says, now you know this time, you don't hit the rock, you just pick the rock and water will come. But the Moses starts saying, these stubborn people will not understand when I'm speaking to the rock. And if the water doesn't come, what happens? Let me hit the rock. And he hit the rock, not once, twice. What happened? Moses lost the blessing. And he says, he prayed and prayed, Lord, forgive me, let me go to the promised land. He said, no, you can't. And then you read in the book of Hebrews, he said that that rock was Jesus Christ. When the rock was Jesus Christ died for you once. You cannot crucify Jesus Christ twice. That's the meaning. And so, once you are a sinner, and Jesus said, I forgive your sins, come, and I receive you as you are. I'll wash you with my blood and make you clean. Then once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then what you do? Then you don't commit sin. If you start committing sin, that means you are crucifying Jesus Christ fresh again. So then people say, don't people commit sin? No. They don't do willingly. By mistake, if they commit sin, then they have to confess and put it right. But if you start practicing sin as a Christian and don't feel guilty, keep on practicing sin, that means you are crucifying Christ again. That's the meaning. Christian should not be committing sin. Christians should live a clean and holy life. Because Jesus Christ paid the penalty. He gave his life for us. If we make a mistake, just think that I made a mistake. And I said, Lord, please forgive me. I will never do it again. He will forgive you. But if I say, Lord, forgive me. I will never do it again. And next minute, keep on doing the same thing. And say, Lord, forgive me. I will never do it again. And keep on doing. That is not the Christian life. That is deceiving. But the Jesus Christ will forgive our sins. We have to what? Forsake our sins and what? And forget. You cannot keep on repeating the same sin. You have to ask God forgiveness and put it away. That's the Christian life. St. Paul is very strong. And he is telling, get rid of that wicked man among you. So let's pray. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord Jesus, give us grace to live clean and holy life. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. Give us grace to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.